All right, Sam, we have gone a long time without a market correction, and the market's run straight up since March 2009. Do you think that we are at a top?
I don't think we're in a top, but I think we are overdue for a 10 to 20% decline. The S&P has gone 44 months without a decline of 10% or more, and the average time without, you know, between such declines has been 18 months since World War II. So we are, you know, pretty long in the tooth. I think we need a bit of resetting of the dials. Usually it's done through a price decline, but if we just continue to go through this undulating up and down pattern, then maybe we end up with a correction in time, not a correction in price.
Okay, so based on the current price to earnings ratio of the S&P 500, where do you see where it's priced now compared to the past?
Well, what's interesting is that a lot of people were wondering, gee, is Janet Yellen right? First off, they were thinking, why is she even commenting on valuations? She should be focusing on the Fed. I guess my question is, gee, does that mean I now can't talk about the Fed since I focus on valuations? Well, if you look to a majority of measures going back in time, then yes, stocks do look expensive. But I think it's inappropriate to just look at the average PE going back, let's say, to 1936 and then comparing it today, because during all of those periods, we have had very different inflationary scenarios. So what I did was I looked at different inflationary scenarios and said, what looks like today? And I found that any time that we had inflation that was at 1.5% or less, and the most recent consumer price index showed a negative year-over-year reading. But any time we were at 1.5% or less, the price-to-earnings ratio for the S&P 500 was about 5% higher than where it is today. So if you look at an inflation-adjusted basis, then we are actually trading at a slight discount to the average since 1948. And so we probably have a little ways to go to the upside before I think we start to get pricey even at that measurement.
That's interesting, Sam, because that's contrary to what you hear about from the talking heads on CNBC and Fox Business News.
Well, because they're looking back 25 years at the what's called GAAP or as reported earnings. I call it Prego spaghetti sauce because everything is in there. And in that regard, PEs are a little expensive. They're about trading at a 9% premium. Right now they're at 21 times versus the median of 19.5 over the past 25 plus years. Remember, back in 1981, we had a PE that was below 10. The reason is we had inflation above 14. Today, basically, the Fed is worried that we could end up in a deflationary environment. We're going to be having the producer price index for May come out very shortly and is expected to show a year-over-year decline, not only on the headline level, but also the core level, which removes the more volatile food and energy components.
Sam, all this rhetoric about the Fed raising rates, are they actually going to be able to do it before the debt starts rolling over in the next 4 years, or do you think they'll do it sooner?
Well, I think the Congress would prefer that they don't do it, raise rates as the debt is rolling over, because then their debt obligation will be even higher. I think the Fed really does want to at least break out of this mold of having zero interest rates. They're trying to recalibrate, not restrain the overall economy. And so I think they just sort of want to get the ball rolling. They're going to do a 25 basis point or 0.25% interest rate increase, maybe at the September meeting, just to get it started. But I don't think they can be overly aggressive. Christine Lagarde, who heads up the International Monetary Fund, recently said that the Fed chair should not be raising interest rates because global economies are so weak right now that she would be better off delaying until March of next year. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I think if not today, then certainly tomorrow.
Sam, as an advisor, I have some of my clients' money in tax-free municipal bond funds and other corporate bond funds. What do you think the Fed's starting to raise rates will do to those bond funds, and what should I tell my investors?
Well, I think that traditionally, you know, the analogy is that when you invest in bonds, it's like riding on a seesaw. When rates go up, prices basically go down. However, I think investors have to think of two different reasons why they want to stick with those bonds. First off, why are you investing to begin with? You're investing in order to get income. So I think as an income-oriented investor, you have to start thinking like a landlord. Don't start thinking like a trader. Yes, prices can go up and down, but you bought this instrument primarily because you wanted the income. Look primarily at the rolling 12-month income stream that this investment offers. Focus on that, and you'll probably see an improvement in that stream as time goes on, primarily because as the bonds within those funds mature, they get rolled over into higher-yielding bonds. And so close the one eye to prices, keep the other eye open to the annual income stream, and I think you'll be a much happier investor.
Sam, what do I tell investors that are and clients that come into my office that are just so concerned about the U.S. debt levels?
Well, I think debt levels are a concern, but you have to remember also that we print our own money. We are the primary reserve currency around the globe. People talk to me and they say, well, gee, why couldn't the Chinese yuan become the reserve currency? Well, I guess it could over an extended period of time. But how transparent do you think the Chinese government is or the Chinese companies are about opening up their books to investors? How compliant are they to accounting standards across the globe? So I don't think we're going to have a country have their currency be the reserve currency if we really don't trust the government or the companies and their reporting processes. So I still believe that, yes, we have a big debt overhang that will end up being a drag on our economic growth over time, but at least the trajectory is positive. We probably won't be seeing GDP growth in excess of 3% on a full year basis anytime soon, but with it forecasted to be up about 2.5% for all of 2015, that's a lot better than falling into recession.